Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Atera-Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today as the executive secretary. Some general information about the hearing today. First, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition to the project, then the project sponsor will be given a three-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. And at the end, I may take the matter under advisement, may make a decision today, or continue it to a later date. There are four items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step forward. Otherwise, they will be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and members of the public would be allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance, and Planning Code Section 305C establishes the following five findings that must be met in order to justify granting a variance. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets against the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. This is very important because the appeal period does begin with the issuance of the decision letter, and these decisions may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And no decision is final until that letter is issued. Other items, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss these cases, we would request that that be done outside of the hearing room as to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for January 27, 2016, and audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the agenda. So now we can move on to the calendar. We do have one housekeeping item, and it's a continuance of item number 10 for 45 40 19th Street due to an error in the posted notice. And this item will be continued to January 27, 2016. Is there anyone who wants to speak on the continuance of this item, item number 10 for 45 40 19th Street? Seeing none, this item will be continued to January 27th, 2016, and we can move on to the consent calendar.
There are four items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2015-011574 VAR, 838 Pacific Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Item number two, case number 2015-012809 VAR, 711 to 795 Pacific Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Item number three, case number 2014.0677 VAR, 1164 Fulton Street, rear yard variance sought. And last item number four, case number 2014.0655 VAR, 3751 to 3753 20th Street, rear yard variance sought.
And is there anyone here to speak on any of these four items? And again, item number one, 838 Pacific Avenue. Item number two, 711 to 795 Pacific Avenue. Item number three, 1164 Fulton Street. Or item number four, 3751 to 5320th Street. Which item would you like to?
Four.
You're here for item four. Okay. Is there anyone here for any items one through three? Seeing none, I close the public hearing on items one through three. Be inclined to grant those variances. Item number four is taken off the consent calendar and be heard as the first item on the regular calendar.
Okay. Regular item, item number four, case number 2014.0655 VAR, 3751 to 3753 20th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Does my 5 minutes start now? I need to plug in a presentation.
Go ahead.
You can load it up first.
Load it up and we'll time you when you're ready.
And I guess while we're waiting,
the machine is on.
It should be.
It should be. The power is on that side. Okay,
while we're waiting, could I just see a show of hand for those who are here for item number five for 930 Baker Street? So those are people here for 930 Baker. Okay, thank you. I'm just trying to judge whether to move that a little bit later in the calendar and have the other items heard first. But I think that's not an overwhelming number of people, so we'll keep it on the agenda as it is.
It's a quick presentation to go through.
Sir, if you could just use one of the microphones.
Sorry.
Close to the microphone.
This one work? Hello?
Hold on.
Hello? Hello? There we go. All right. This presentation will quickly go through our rear yard diagrams. This is a variance for rear yard. We've got some perspective views of that, and then some context info and our drawings if anyone has any questions. Here's the front of our site. Here's a historic photo of it. Here's the rear yard in question. Here's looking back at the rear yard. Here's a block map. You can see our project here in gray, one of the smallest lots in the block. Here's our site plan existing. You can see that our neighbor to the east, down at the bottom of the screen, has a rear yard cottage. And that's going to be the reason why we're seeking a variance and to adjust to suit that condition. Here is our rear property lines of adjacent neighbors. This is where our rear yard would begin. This is the addition we're providing. And then this would be a typical two-story pop-out offset from the property line on both sides by 5 feet. We're actually bringing the addition back to respect our neighbor's windows to the west. The problem here is the encroachment between the rear yard cottage, which is an existing non-compliant condition, and our pop-out, which meets the planning code. So we're seeking a rear yard variance to actually move that pop-out over against the wall of our west neighbor to allow more light and air to our neighbor with the rear yard cottage. So here's some perspective views of the rear yard. Here's existing. Proposed. Another view, existing and proposed. And in this view, you can see if our pop-out, which aligns with our neighbor here to the east, the building closest to you, were to move to be compliant with the planning code, we would impinge on light and air to that existing non-complying rear yard cottage. Some views of the front of the building, which aren't really relevant to our discussion today. Go through those quickly. A little bit of context. Again, here's a block map. We are one of the smallest structures on the block. Here's an aerial view. We're the yellow house here. And this just goes through how far back each neighbor comes to sort of put our rear addition in context. Very quickly. And then I've got some other context drawings that we can go into if anyone has any questions. I think that's about it.
Thank you. Very clear presentation. We'll move on to public comment for this item. Item number four for 3751 to 53 20th Street.
Please approach the mic. You have 3 minutes.
Can you use
the... Yeah, you can use...
But
why don't you use the middle one?
Yeah, my name is Ingrid Eggers, and I live in that little cottage in the rear yard. It's the oldest, the smallest, and the only cottage, as you have seen here. I bought the house because I could afford it 15 years ago, and I like the history of that neighborhood. It's an historic district. And when I first saw the plans of the house next door, I was shocked. I thought it cannot be possible that somebody dreams up this thing of tripling the size of that historic house, which we heard is on the small, one of the smaller lots, but they are turning it into the biggest house on the block. There's nothing of 7,200 square feet on that whole block, not even the house next door, the big one. It's 4,000 something. I told them that this doesn't fit into this neighborhood. Of course, they didn't listen. I told them my personal story, which is I'm retired, I'm a writer. I will have to face years of heavy construction if this will be built. Of course, that didn't help either. So I put all my hopes into the Historic Preservation Commission. The first meeting in January looked very good. They said they didn't like the boxes, they didn't like the deep pit in the garden, and asked them to come back with Plan B. They came back with Plan B in April, which was a just slightly modified plan, and all of a sudden all the commissioners agreed. They approved the plan, and I was, as you can imagine, flabbergasted. I didn't know what had happened. Was shocked that this should be approved in an historic neighborhood on a small lot, houses surrounded with square foot size, much smaller than what they are going to build. And, of course, me mostly affected by all that. I didn't know what happened, but I know that this monster home should not be there. I know we are talking about a variance here, and I say the block or the box that we are talking about shouldn't be there in the first place. None of the boxes should be there. The house in question should be restored with respect for the history of that house, which was built in 1870, with respect for the neighborhood, which is historic district, and I think with respect for the people who live there. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And just to be clear, too, so if the variance were to be denied, the project would, the 12-foot pop-out would then move 5 feet closer towards your building. That would be the code-complying alternative. What they are proposing is actually something that is no larger than would otherwise be allowed by the code, but they're seeking the variance so they can move it farther away from your building. And that the overall project has been reviewed by the HPC, which did approve it, as you noted, and there was a neighborhood notification this summer, and there were no discretionary reviews filed during that time as well, just to note. So, sir, your comments?
You also get 3 minutes, sir.
On the same property, the same variance. My name is Christian Reisner. I am an attorney. I'm not acting as an attorney in this case. I live in the Mission. I want to point out that the problem with the variance is that it is attached to a project that is flatly illegal. It violates the historic ordinance of the city. It does so with the direct words of it. Furthermore, it violates completely the standards set forth federally for all historic districts in the country. They are adopted, they've been adopted by this commission, they've been adopted by the Historic Commission. And I'd like to say I'm very proud of our city, I believe that we all are. And this is an important, very important to that. I'm not proud, we cannot be, when there's such a departure. Unfortunately, this is not the only case. There will be other cases. But I think that we have to be certain in our minds that everything about our city is not for sale and is not to be given away. Members of the commission must, in every case, consider what is at stake. It was not done here. It is a shame that it occurred. I mean that literally. We must insist that every member of the commissioner consider the real issues that are presented. They don't have to go along to get along, and that is what has happened here. It is a shame. It's causing enormous damage. There's just no precedent for it whatsoever in that district. The project is completely out of keeping with what's happened on the block. It's one of the oldest structure. Ms. Eggers' property is one of the oldest structures in the entire area, 1870s. We don't have that many historic, more historic structures to preserve. And more is at stake than simply a building and then a property line. So we don't think that the problem with the variance is it cannot be legal if it attaches to a project that is flatly in violation. It remains in violation, and it remains in violation whether or not no request for review was filed. These are expensive. They're expensive to proceed. And unfortunately, you know, that's been an issue here. So I think it is an issue in many cases.
Thank you for your comments. So,
thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? Item number 4 for 3751 to 53 20th Street. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal if you'd like to use the time.
So the diagram.
Can you use the middle one? Oh, you still need.
You'll hear me. The diagram that's currently on the screen illustrates in red the outline of the section of the proposed building. The section in black and white that's drawn is a section through our immediate neighbor to the west. You can see that we're lower in the back and about the same area further back underground. But there is enormous precedent for buildings of this scale throughout the neighborhood, and some of this presentation looked at that. You can see how large this building here is at 3720th Street. Our neighboring lot is actually one of the densest and largest lots in terms of building constructed on it. There's just a small amount of yard between the two structures. As you can see, we're aligning with our neighbor to the west, which is a house that is taller and extends just as far back into the property. I'll go quickly through our images of the rear again so that everybody can understand what we're doing. This is the existing structure. This is proposed, existing, and proposed. If we were to move the pop-out closer to our east neighbor who just spoke, there would be reduced visual access to the rear yard open space for them. I think I've made it pretty clear, so yes.
Thank you. So with that, I close the public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it has been reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission. There was no discretionary review during the 311 period. This variance is limited to the rear addition, the rearmost portion, which a code-complying alternative, I believe, would have more of a negative impact on the neighbor. And so, therefore, I find that the variance here is justified. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2014.0398V, 930 Baker Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? Please approach the middle mic. You have 5 minutes.
I'd like to use the overhead.
Oh, you need to use it? Oh, this one.
Thank you. Good morning. This is a variance, seeking a variance for a garage on the rear of the 930 Baker Street. The site is currently developed as a two-story, two-unit building, which is right here. It was built in 1949. The maximum dwelling unit density is one dwelling unit per 800 square feet on the lot, which is about, in this case, would allow for six units. We are proposing to add two units to the property and provide parking with a small detached structure facing St. Joseph Street. This is the area of the variance that we're seeking on St. Joseph Street for the detached garage. Is there any way we can make the picture larger so that we can see the whole? Okay. So to put the project in the context of the neighborhood, Baker Street, which is right here, is steeply sloped with views to the east, this way. All lots on Baker Street are through lots, fronting Baker on one side and St. Joseph Street on the other side. All the lots are zoned RM1 with a 25-foot height limit. There are 15 properties on Baker Street, and seven of them are three stories multi-unit buildings with height well over 25 feet, which is right here. And all of those seven properties have accommodated their parking need by turning the first level into a bank of garage doors. So they all have multiple three garage doors on their first level. Three of those properties also have garages facing Baker Street, and they're shown here in red. The lots on Broderick Street here are also through lots, and five of those lots have garages facing Baker Street. In fact, one of the garages, which is right adjacent to our proposed garage, got a variance in 2002 for their garage. In total, there are eight garages facing St. Joseph Street. We feel that there are exceptional and or extraordinary circumstances applying to the property. The current height limit and planning guidelines regarding garages have put extraordinary circumstances on the subject property and have created a hardship in the potential development of the property, excuse me, which is zoned as RM1, mixed-use residential, and allows for six units. The exceptional and extraordinary circumstances described above were not created by and cannot be attributed to the application and current owners of the property. Literal enforcement of the planning code provision would require abandonment of the additional units allowed under the current zoning and would create a necessary hardship not created by the applicants. In this instance, granting the variance will allow the construction of the garage on St. Joseph Avenue and allow for the expansion of the occupied living space fronting Baker Street. The expansion of the existing building will allow for the same development as possessed by other properties located in the district. Again, the variance approval was granted for the garage right next door to us at 920 Baker, and more recently, this property here, located at 1125 and 1127 Broadwick, was granted a construction for a detached garage on January 6, 2014. We feel the variance is necessary to preserve the development potential zone for the lot while allowing for a project consistent with the neighborhood pattern. And here are some of the photos of all the garages facing Baker St. Joseph Street. There's eight of them. The garage that we're proposing to do on Baker Street is minimum footprint to allow for two-car garages. The front of the garage door at 12 feet is less than the neighbor's, which is 16 feet. the garage only allows for two-car garage again, and then there is going to be a sloping area for the landscaping.
So that's your time, but you will have a three-minute rebuttal.
Okay. This goes fast. Can I?
Oh, you have. If you have one last thought to finish up, but you do have a three-minute rebuttal.
Okay. Well, we feel that the project is consistent with the planning guidelines and have no adverse effect on the neighborhood, and that it would actually be a beneficial to the neighborhood.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
So, any public comment on this item? Item number 5 for 930 Baker Street.
Can you use the middle mic, please? Thank you. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Al Sudini at 140 Terravista Avenue. I'm with the Anza Vista Neighborhood Association, but I'm not speaking for them at the moment. I'd like to take two tacks. One is to just say, can we sort of postpone a decision on this and re-notify the neighbors? Because I think the process was inadequate and had many inaccuracies in it. The website for the plans could not be accessed for well over a week, if not 2 weeks, so people could not see the plans. They could get into it, but all it came up with was something that's a document no longer available. So they really haven't been notified there. Also, once you got into the plans, the whole issue here is the garage, and the page A4 that had the garage on it was not included in the plans. We had asked the architect for dimensions of the garage, and we have, a fairly good relationship at this point with the architect, but we didn't find out the dimensions until last Friday on the 27th. And that was just really to a couple of people who he addressed them to. So the neighborhood still doesn't know what the size of the garage is. The variance application was updated on 11/19, and I received a notice that was mailed on 11/20. And I don't think anybody else got it. I just got it because I was think I was part of the groups. In the variance, it lists the existing height of the building as 25 feet, and that's incorrect. It's 20 feet, so it's misleading in terms of how large the project is. It's off in terms of the number of buildings. It should be two rather than one. It should be four stories, not three floors and a basement. And the square footage, again, we're looking at the garage. The square footage for the existing and garage and the proposed new structure didn't even add across the page. So I would just like to suggest that we postpone this so we can get the neighbors more involved and maybe re-notice everybody. So that's one question. I don't want to use up all my time, but perhaps the architect might join me in that. I don't know. At any rate, I think the garage definitely is disruptive to the neighborhood. It goes against the current development pattern. And I've written a letter to you that explains that quite a bit more. But the garages that were presented here this morning, there's only one of them that is detached. The others are part of the buildings that begin on Baker Street. Variances for two properties on Baker Street, 1000 Baker and 1030 Baker, were denied for the same. They tried to do the same thing, and they were denied. So I just see them coming back and doing this again. So I first of all would suggest that we just postpone the decisions here for a while so we can get the neighbors together and let them really understand everything. Thank you.
So most of your time was spent on kind of question of the continuance. Did you like just a few more seconds?
Yeah,
to speak to
that? I don't have that much. I'll try to be brief. Once we saw the dimensions of the garage, they're a little confusing. And I know I've talked to the architect, and he has an explanation. But the garage to the south, the one that they're saying exists, they're not even matching it. That's 20 feet in length. And what they're proposing is 28 feet in length. And just give me an explanation, but I can't quite buy it. I've My own garage is 20 feet, and I parked two SUVs in there, so I don't know. And then there's a 9-foot roof access. That's just, for that size of a building, it's just basically obnoxious. I've got one next to me, and nobody... they started yelling at me when it first went up because they thought I authorized it. It's just... was too big.
So the roof access being the stair penthouse on the building.
Yeah, I think it's called the penthouse exit and so forth. But we can't see why a roof deck up there is necessary. They've got 700 square feet of decking
just
to begin with.
Sorry to focus, but so that's actually not part of the variance.
I understand.
The variance is just the detached garage.
So that's basically then what I have.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the extra time.
Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment on this item, 930 Baker Street?
You have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Paul Alkin. I live in the neighborhood. I'd also like to express my concern of the short notice that we received on the request. I think I received the flyer from the architect maybe 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before today. It might have been 3 weeks, I'm not sure. And then the notice from the planning department was about a week ago that I received it. And considering that it was holiday, there just seemed to me to be a lot of pressure on the neighborhood to talk about this issue and to present to you. So I also would like to support a delay or a continuance, I guess, is that what you call it, for that reason. My other concerns about the project is the fact that St. Joseph Street is a two-block street, and it's got a definite character about it, and a good deal of that character comes from these large backyards. And I know that it sounds like the studios that are being requested to be built have already been approved, or they have not. Okay. So I'd like to speak against both of those, the project in general, mainly because of the way it really takes away from that really small neighborhood and will set a precedent, really, for anybody else who wants to do the same thing in these backyards. And I understand that... at this time in San Francisco, people who own property want to get as much more money as they possibly can because they know they can right now. But I don't think these small neighborhoods are the place to do it. It's one thing to build a 10-story building on Market Street. It's another thing to disrupt the urban greenery pattern of a two-block street in the city that's been there for so many years. And also, it was a little misleading in the flyer that we received from them. As far as I know, there was no mention of the units. It was just a request for the variance for the garage. And I didn't notice that there was plans for the living dwelling units until I got the notice from the planning department. So that was a little bit misleading also from what incomplete information from the architect. And with regard to the design, I mean, it's a personal thing, I know, but these square box, sort of concrete square boxes with a little bit of wood and a lot of glass that are going up all over the city, to me, are not San Francisco. It doesn't fit in with the neighborhood. I know these buildings in this neighborhood are not Victorians, but they are not. I have an issue with the design as well. And to put trees in boxes on top of garages and call it greenery or a replacement for a yard to me is also does not make sense to me. And I do have signatures from about 10 people in the neighborhood who oppose the project.
Okay.
Should I be giving that to you? Or?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments. And maybe just to note for other speakers, a few other items. So this is just a variance related to the garage at the rear. The building at the front will have a separate neighborhood notification for the building permit application for that project and for that addition for that work. which will have include with it this garage structure, but that will be something that could be taken to the Planning Commission for discretionary review of the overall project. And also the neighborhood notification for variances, it does have a 20-day posting and a 10-day mailed notice. So the timelines that you're giving for getting notice are what the code prescribes for these, as well as what would be kind of featured for all the other cases that are on the agenda today. So with that, I just wanted to clarify and see if there are any other public comment on this item.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. We're on 930 Baker Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. I live on Eddy Street, the street that goes into St. Joseph, for about 25 years. And I cannot tell you the beauty of that street. I wish I had a photograph of it. It was the old cemetery of San Francisco before they moved everybody to Colma. In matter of fact, sometimes you can even find bones in those gardens. What happens, I see lots of birds, butterflies, crows. I mean, it's full of life there. And it just gives me so much pride to live there because it's beautiful. And last time I was here again because some other neighbor wanted to build something and it was denied. And the fact that there is a little garage there near the church, I believe it's because I never even knew that they was going to build it. Otherwise, I would have stood here again and protest. Even that, for me, it was something that they just is not right with the style and the beauty of that street. So I have also a list of neighbors from St. Joseph, of neighbors who really don't want to see the changing, because once there is one building, once there is a change in that, it will be a cascade of where people going to have their garages built and we're going to lack those garage spaces to be in. So that also is an issue. But really, my business was landscaping. I love that street. It's gorgeous, and it's historic. It was the old cemetery of San Francisco. So I have the list here of other neighbors, and if we had more time, we would have gotten much more signatures. I know that, because everybody loved that street. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item, 930 Baker Street?
Good morning. Zelko Simoni. I live in the neighborhood for about over 42 years. Talking about the variances notification, from the day one, everything went wrong. Notification was done improperly. The plan assigned for this project didn't want to communicate with us. I'm the one sending so many emails. After I contacted the supervisor, she was able to respond to us. But since then, or even today, if you go on the planning sign, what's posted on the property, you can see the drawings, but you cannot see variances, what the variance is all about, what they're asking for, what they plan to do. So that's the reason we're asking you to postpone the hearing to further date so that people can see what's really going on. And beyond that, if you just want to talk garages, there are something going behind that. What's going to be proposed to build? If you don't want to talk about today, that's fine. But the hearing needs to be postponed. And definitely we don't want to see those garages be built on the San Joseph side. 2 years ago, you personally, Scott, say to the people that you drove by, that neighborhood, that's one of the most beautiful area in the city, how the people keeping gardens, how they're planting the trees and so on, between the Terra Vista to the corner of the Turk, and from the Baker to the on the Turk to the Masonic. So that's the reason we're asking you here for. Okay? That's all I can say.
Thank you.
All right.
Any other public comment on this item on 930 Baker Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. So I just wanted to add that
We actually are not setting a precedent. There is a variance that was granted right next door to us. Another property was granted construction just very recently. There is 8 properties on facing San Jose that have garages. We have 5 letters of support for the project. And I'd like to just quote that a neighbor says, "I firmly believe that activating the underutilized and steep rear yards of any of these Baker Street property would be a welcome addition to the neighborhood and would enhance security and the overall quality of the area. Most of the backyards are chain link fence in the areas." The project at 1000 Baker Street was mentioned as was denied. This is a project that was proposed at 1000 Baker Street, which has nothing to do with the garage. It was actually a residential with a garage. So that has nothing to do with what we're proposing to do. We are really minimizing the garage size. We are keeping the open area of the mid-block area, proposing to slope the area next to the garage and have all this greenery to follow the pattern of the neighborhood. We believe that we've met all the requirements for the variance granting and that the Planning Code Section 101.1 establishes 8 priorities and that we've met all of them, including conserving neighborhood character and provision of housing stock. We feel that there would be no adverse effect or impact on the neighborhood character, and that we will be the subject property will join similar characteristics already found on the block. I think that's all I have to add.
Thank you. So, as you stated, you're adding 2 dwelling units to the building that fronts on Baker Street, which triggers the planning code requirement for the addition of 2 off-street parking spaces. There is an alternative under the code where you can substitute bicycle parking spaces with required off-street parking spaces, which wouldn't necessitate the addition of a garage here. Is that something that you've considered so as to not trigger that requirement for the parking spaces?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the...
So under the planning code, you can substitute required automobile parking spaces with bicycle parking spaces. So there may be a way to construct the addition of the additional units without providing automobile parking. Have you looked at alternatives such as that to...
We are providing bicycle parking inside the garage. This is a requirement from the planning code.
Right, but then in addition, you can substitute... that with you can substitute off-street parking spaces, car spaces, for bike parking. So have you looked at providing a project essentially that does not have this garage or that does not have the additional parking spaces?
No, we have not.
Okay.
And, I mean, it would be a detriment to the property to not have garages, that other properties have garages. And again, on facing Baker Street, the way they've been able to accommodate their parking is by totally transforming the first floor into garages, which we're not doing. And also they have it's 3 stories. Ours proposes only 2 stories. Mm. And the way to accommodate for the garage for our property is to use the San Joseph Street side.
Because if you were
to minimize the impact on Baker Street.
Because one alternative, you could keep you have 2 openings at the front now. You could potentially do stackers, but then you would lose the habitable area.
We would lose the habitable area. And again, we're really trying to minimize the Baker Street and the character of the neighborhood there.
I think that's clear. And you're able to accommodate a 2-car garage there at the rear, which seems to probably reduce the on-street parking by only about 1 space.
That's correct. And the curved curb, excuse me, the curved curb is only the minimum required by code, which is way less than the neighbors to the right as well. So we're really trying to minimize the footprint, trying to be as landscaping as possible on the Baker Street side and actually improve the San Joseph Street side and actually improve the landscaping there, which is really has been kind of abandoned. A lot of those lots on San Joseph's are abandoned, and neighbors have been mentioning the issues with security and you know, it's just not maintained.
Okay, so please don't speaking from the audience. So And but then one of the questions that came up was, you know, why there is a greater depth to the garage, and I think it's showing there's 28 and a half feet, and part of that is to give maneuvering space so you can have a narrower garage door.
Exactly. We're showing here the maneuvering space for the car. This area here is actually lower because of the sloping of the for the landscaping above. So the car, the two cars are really kind of snug in that space, and the only reason it's deeper is to allow for the maneuvering of the two cars.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. So with that, I will close the public hearing, and I appreciate the public speaking on this item. I do very well recall the 1000 Baker Street project, which was a variance that I had denied some couple years ago now, and it actually had been denied by a previous zoning administrator as well back in the mid-2000s. I think that there are some differences between the two projects. This is just a garage at the rear that does, I think it does its best to minimize its impacts and to provide landscaping. The other proposal was not very well set in the same context. This has at least one adjacent garage as context. The other one was a two-story building that provided a single-family dwelling above the garage, and I think was much more out of place on that portion of St. Joseph's, and that is a bit further to the north. I think you do get a bit different pattern when you go north of Eddy, which I think is more of the kind of the pristine part of St. Joseph. I do see that this has very different impacts to that, and so I wouldn't quite categorize them in the same grouping. And I could see the justifications for a variance at this location. I appreciate the comments about the notification, and I think at this point I will take the matter under advisement. I do see, again, that I could make the findings for granting the variance, but I will also consider the public's comments and their request for continuance, and we'll have staff report back to those who have contacted Ms. Bendix with a kind of give an idea of where we're going to go with whether or not we're going to have a new hearing on this in the next week. But I will just consider this at this time and can follow up with staff in the next week. But I do want to be clear that I do see that this is a different project, a different case than the 1000 Baker Street. But I will also consider the comments on the continuance. So matters taken under advisement, public hearing is closed at this time, and we can move on to the next item.
Thank Moving you. To item number 6, case number 2015-0018-06 VAR, 1160 Pine Street, usable open space and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Serena Calhoun. I'm the project architect for the property located at 1160 Pine Street. What we have here is an existing 15-unit apartment building. It is zoned for additional dwelling units up to 26. Given the way that the site is built out, though, the only, you know, creative way that we found to increase density in this location was to convert some storage spaces just behind the lobby into dwelling units. I'm going to just point out this building in the middle right here, and this kind of arch top window and this arch top window, just to orient you, are two of the windows that front onto Pine Street and make up the front window for the apartment units, for two of the apartment units. So here we have Pine Street over here, and these two units are the two units that have those little arch top windows that front onto the street. And you can see how high they are off the sidewalk. There's a substantial grade increase over the course of this site, so that when you walk to the front, you come up the stairs, into the lobby, up some more stairs, across the lobby, up some more stairs, and that puts you at the elevation of these two units. And then through the lobby, we're going to cut an opening so that you have a direct access to this third unit, which is the one that we're kind of discussing as you know, related to the variance today. There's also, once you come through the lobby, a pathway that takes you back to a rear yard back here, which provides open space to the existing 15 units and does also provide some of the open space to the three new units that we're proposing. The variances, there are two. One is for exposure for this unit because it is in the back of the site and does not have a direct line of sight onto a large enough yard due to the concrete wall behind it, and also because it's set back from the street, limits the exposure. However, we do have these kind of long light courts on both sides of the property that provide quite a lot of light and ventilation into this lower register of the building, again, because of the substantial grade as you step up from the street towards the back. The buildings on either side are only a couple of stories above this. Additionally, for open space, we are very close to meeting our requirement for this with the existing open space. We're about 50 square feet short between the three units for shared space. However, there is a light court along here, and the only access to it is between these two units. So these two areas can be used sort of privately by these two spaces. However, it does not expressly conform to the dimensions required for a public open space by the planning code. And that's what we're doing here today. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 6 for 1160 Pine Street? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I have a bit more of a concern with the exposure, but I think, as has been pointed out, there are some substantial light wells, light courts there that do provide some light, and this will need to meet all the minimum requirements under the San Francisco Building Code as well. So we can move on to the next
Moving item. To item number 7, case number 2015-007426 VAR, 736 Anderson Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes as well.
My name is Robert Bowles. I'm with Beausoleil Architects. The project owner is here also, Amy Love, in the back. She may want to speak too. What we're proposing is a very modest extension into the rear yard. We're actually demolishing an existing building in the rear yard. And between demolishing the existing building and the fact that the building is set back substantially from the front street, there's a significant amount of open space on the property, more than what the code would require. We're also extending into the rear yard less than the adjacent two properties on left and right. The only extension into the rear yard really is a very small stair landing, less than 30 inches high. Expanded house is significantly under the maximum volume allowed in the city code, and also under the even more restricted volume allowed by the Bernal Heights Special Use District. No neighborhood views or solar access are being compromised, and we're not shadowing any of the neighbors' gardens with this small addition. The purpose of the addition and the interior remodeling is to help the owner age in place more conveniently. It adds a bathroom for her on the upper level where her master bedroom is, and allows for a caretaker to be living in the house more easily later on. And we did cooperate with one neighbor who lived across the street who had some concerns about the property, actually the dormer on the roof, shadowing his property, and we, I think, assuaged his concerns. And we're also, we feel enhancing and beautifying, if you will, the one of the few more intact Victorians on the block. The backyard now currently is just a horrible mishmash of add-ons and different styles and building materials and ticky-tacky stuff, and we're trying to clean that up and dress it up and make it nice and clean. So I think the rear yard will be really improved by what we're doing.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 7 for 736 Anderson Street. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting, as mentioned by the project sponsor, the lot conditions. There is quite a substantial front yard setback here, which is shared by one of the properties to the south, but I believe the property to the north does come out closer to the front property line, and I think this subject addition, which replaces something that is already there, something kind of slightly larger and more useful, does not have a negative impact. So we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2015-007600 VAR, 528 Connecticut Street, front setback and street frontage variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Lourdes Garcia, and I'm the architect representing 528 Connecticut client. The clients are requesting a 48-square-foot extension of their garage facing the street. In recent years, they have committed to solar panels and installed charging stations within the garage. They would like to be able to fit in 2 electric cars in the garage, and currently they don't have the space for that. The only solution is to move the garage door forward to align with the existing stair of the house. There is precedence down the street towards the north. There are extensions of the garage facing the street to Victorians that are in alignment with the property line. The proposal is to extend the garage forward to align with the existing entry stair to the house, as well as provide a deck at the entrance over the garage. The top is the existing, the bottom is the proposed. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item and on item number 8 for 528 Connecticut Street? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it's a minor expansion of the garage, provide more usable area to accommodate more off-street parking, at least more greater usability with that off-street parking. This is subject to what's been called the snout house provisions of the planning code because the garage door is moving further out from the front facade. I don't think there's any adverse design impact here. I think it's actually kind of completing the building and that there's already the entry stair there, so this is just making better use of that area. So with that, again, inclined to grant the variance and move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2015-006005 VAR, 893 Ashbury Street, front setback and unscreened parking variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Larry Paul, architect, project architect for the owners. This variance is to consider putting a off-street parking space in the front yard setback, taking one car off the street and then enclosing it with a open metal fence rather than the brick wall that's currently there now. The change would be from the brick wall that is there right now. We would take that down and put an open metal fence there to screen the parking from the street, and that would also create a little more open space for the street itself off the sidewalk. Many of the houses on Ashbury Street have garages already, and some have parking pads. Many of them that even have garages already park in the driveways anyway. So I think what we're asking for is something that is very similar to the neighborhood itself. This is the existing situation where we have a red zone fire hydrant right here and then a utility pole right there. This is the brick wall that we're proposing to take down and put the driveway curb cut right in the middle of that. I've measured the distances from the red zone to the driveway to the south on Ashbury Street. It's 109 feet, and figuring 20 feet per car parking space, that allows five cars of parking. And in fact, most, I've been there a number of times, and usually there's five cars parked there, occasionally six if they're very small, you know, subcompact cars. So we're not really infringing upon any public parking, and in fact, taking one extra car parking and putting it out, off the street for the residents of the for the residents. They have two small children that they would like to be able to load and unload a little easier than having to hunt for parking on the street, and it would provide a more secure parking space for them. This is examples of some similar properties right on the same block that have parking pads and curb cuts similar to what we're asking for, and they are not screened from view, almost exclusively. This is one down just down the street, and another, they're all right in front, in the front setback. Here's an example of one house that has a garage and the other that doesn't. It's just right in the front setback again. One of, I should mention that one of the extraordinary circumstances that this is a historic residence, and it's, the floor level is very close to the street, so it's not practical to raise the house up to put a garage in. We can't put a garage in without raising up the house, and that presents a whole other set of problems about taking out the living room, which is in the front, and all that. The similar houses, again, park in the driveway, even though they have garages. They're not screened, and I know that's technically not allowed by the planning code. So that's why we're asking for a variance, because this happens all the time. This is another one where it's just a parking pad in front of the house. And then this one, again, is a garage that people park in the driveway instead of in the garage, non-screened. Non-screened parking in the driveway. So I think we're actually creating a better situation and basically securing a right that other property owners have in the neighborhood for having off-street parking. This house didn't have it because it was built before cars, basically. It's an old house. And in some cases, here's a two-car garage that still people park in the driveway. So I think that's basically our case. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think, as you noted, many of those may actually not be legal, but do you have the addresses for those properties?
I do.
Because if you want to forward them, that would be great. Is there any?
But that's not our intention, too.
I understand. Is there any public comment on this item, and around item number 9 for 893 Ashbury Street? Seeing no public comments, I'd close the public hearing. Appreciate the project sponsor's comments about providing the off-street parking where others in the neighborhood do have off-street parking. Also about kind of sympathetic to having a space to drop off kids and kind of how that would facilitate life, certainly. But I do have concerns about the loss of on-street parking, and I think that we may have some differing opinions on how many cars can regularly park there, but I think that it is probably often six, and also the off-street parking space that's being provided is only 15 feet deep, so it's not intended for a very large car anyway. That wouldn't be taking a large car off the street. It's taking a smaller car, I think, that could otherwise park. So it's my concern is making all the findings necessary to grant a variance to justify taking one on-street parking space and essentially privatizing it for off-street use. I can't make those findings to justify granting this variance. So be inclined to deny this variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Okay, item number 10 has been continued to January 27, 2016, variance hearing. This is case number 2014-003120-VAR. 4540 19th Street, rear yard variance sought. Moving forward to item number 11, case number 2014-0886V, 601 and 625 Steiner Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here. Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
I am the chairman of the board of Olaf Recovery Systems. And I'm here to explain this project. We are a rehab program. We have a license for 15 clients in our 28-day recovery program, a resident program lasting 6 months in the large facility on the site, and additionally a facility across the street where people can live for an additional year in a sober environment. We've been in business since 1958. We get no public support of any kind, and in my view, we are the best and most effective rehab program in San Francisco, and we do our very best to be a good neighbor to the neighborhood. We have recently, with great effort, raised $250,000 to do a extensive upgrade to the property. We are now on the Victorian Alliance tour, and we think that we have created excellent historic preservation for an historic neighborhood. The project in question is in addition to our 28-day rehab program, a classroom building, a single building, and this will facilitate our program because currently we have all of our instructional and residential activities located in a small facility, which creates some operational issues which this addition will solve by taking the instructional aspects of the program into a different building. And will facilitate our operations. In terms of the scope of the project, this is the existing 28-day program where the 28-day program is housed. This is the adjoining structure. This is a high fence. And this is the proposed addition. Between the bulk of the adjoining building and the fence, our addition will create no diminution of light and no visibility to the neighboring properties and have zero impact in both of those areas, and will also preserve to a maximum the open space that's on the property. In terms of the setbacks, part of the problem is that this is divided into three parcels. We could merge the three lots and create a different a code requirement, but that didn't seem appropriate for this circumstance, so we are asking for a variance in order to build this classroom building. And that's all I have, unless you have questions. Thank you.
No, thank you. We'll go on to public comment. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 11 for 601 and 625 Steiner Street?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm Sue Valentine. I live at 1027 Hayes Street. I disagree that the open space is not going to be affected. It's true that the light is not affected because it's only to the top of the fence. My understanding is that open space doesn't just mean light. It also means the ground, and this is covering up a large portion of the spare space. I'd like to also point out in the Olaf, several things here are marked as planters. As a planter, that's not a raised planter. It's simply a garden space that's flat to the ground. It's not something that's raised. They're already above. They don't already violate open space. By virtue of the two buildings that had been built there since they moved in. And when they moved in, of course, the neighborhood was far less important than it is now. It's now a historic district. The open space doesn't mean space that's only visible to passersby. Open space, my understanding of open space, that this is supposed to make life better for everyone especially in the rear houses. We've had a reduction of the building in that. We ourselves tore down a substandard structure that violated open space. The people next door to the house where the fence is, they had originally had a deck that covered the entire rear of the building. That was removed. So we have some really nice open space that we can look out on when we look out our back windows and when we look out our back small deck. Also, the John Doan House is the oldest house in the neighborhood, and I do believe that filling in this space will degrade the historic nature of this property. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item for 601 625 Steiner Street?
My name is Bob Spute. I live at 1027 Hayes, which is a property that adjoins the subject property. We provided a detailed letter refuting or explaining why we did not think any of the criteria that have to be met were met. I don't want to waste your time reiterating all of the points that we made in the letter. The one point I would emphasize is that we did identify an alternative site on the property which could be used and which has not been mentioned in their submission and which we think would be less intrusive and cause fewer problems for the area. So with that, I'll leave. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? We're on 601 625 Steiner Street. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
The reason that we didn't consider the alternate site is that we think it would have a much more deleterious impact on the open space that exists on the property, which is considerable, and because it would be much less functional in terms of operating the program that we're attempting to operate there. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, I close the public hearing. I would note that the Historic Preservation Commission has reviewed the project and did authorize a certificate of appropriateness for the subject work. I do find that this is, I think, probably the best location. The intent of the rear yard requirement is to create a mid-block open space. The mid-block open space in this immediate area is already compromised by the existing structures, and this is a relatively small structure that is proposed, and find that will not further degrade the mid-block open space, and that alternate locations would not be as suitable or as appropriate as this is, especially given the context here of the historic property. So with that, we can move on to the last item.
Last item in our calendar, item number 12, case number 2015-003059-VAR, 231 Sadowa Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Andy Marsh. I live at the property 231 Sadowa Street, and I feel a little silly, but I've never done one of these before, so I didn't think to bring like a presentation, but I do have the documents all digitally and photos and all of that if anyone needs to see them.
Yeah, I mean, we have the case materials. You can actually put your phone on the overhead if there's any materials on your phone that you would
really?
Like to
Does
show.
And
should be able to zoom in.
Oh, my God.
Should show. So something.
Oh, I see. That's operator error. Okay. Well, see. Let me give the project history, and then I'm happy to show the phone also as well. So we, this is a house I bought back in, I think, 97 or 1998, and I've been slowly improving it and now have a young family there. This is actually a huge apology that we owe because we rebuilt an existing structure that was on the house when the property was first built, I think, in 1939. And it was a dilapidated three-room shed, much larger than the one that we rebuilt. It was falling apart, and we actually knew we needed to rebuild it. And there was a windstorm, and one whole wall blew off into our neighbor's wall, who has a dog. And fortunately, nobody was hurt, but it was a whole wall of the shed flew off. So our other neighbor, who is here on the other side, offered, he's a general contractor, and he offered to help us rebuild the shed. And we went through what we thought
got was all the proper channels, and we got a building permit. He got everything wired properly. It all was towards every standard that we understood. And it's much more attractive. It's safe. It's only used as a playroom for our kids. We have a 4-year-old and a 18-month-old now. And it's beautified the property, and the view for the neighbors is nicer. At the same time, we rebuilt the back shed between our yard and the back neighbors, which was also dilapidated and falling down. So we feel like we really did a good job, and it's smaller. It is smaller in height, and it is also smaller in overall footprint than the original shed that was on there. So we're just, but what we found out almost a year later, we were contacted by the zoning department and told we were supposed to have gotten a variance hearing because the existing structure, the previous structure, was not, didn't meet the requirements for the rear yard. We honestly had no idea, and as I said, we got the building permit. We only replaced. So when we found out, we were now going through a retroactive process to get the variance, but. We really think we did a good job improving the neighborhood, and it's already done. So open to any questions. I have two support neighbors here, and I have a lot of photos. And
thank you. So it looks like there are other, maybe not many, but some other structures at the rear of other properties.
There are quite a few in the neighborhood, and ours is now the nicest looking. It's painted nice. It's pretty. We have a lot in the neighborhood where people just have either larger or similar size, and they just have tarps on them. The roofs are falling off like our old one was, frankly. So we made it nicer.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment on this item for the last item, 231 Sotoa Streets?
Like her, I've never done this before, and I shouldn't even really be here. But this building has really ticked me off. I live two doors down from there, two or three doors down. And when they started to build this, I filed a complaint with the building department, which is right here. And this was before anything was built. And you can't see it there. And they say they went through all the proper channels. Well, this was before anything was built, and it just started to be framed in. I filed a complaint, and as you can see there, it says it went out and talked to the contractor and told them to reduce it to 10 by 10 by a certain day. That was never done. The building department never followed through. And like she said, this gentleman here was the contractor, so I don't know for a fact that he got talked to. But it seems like it should have never been built. And they just kept right ahead on building it. And after I filed a couple more complaints, they finally got a permit to do it after it was already complete. And somehow it got approved by the planning department. And I kept going back and forth saying, how did this get approved? And finally I talked to Chris Espiritu, and he said that they made a mistake in approving it and had talked to somebody at the building department and was surprised that they didn't do anything about it. And it's gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with me. I have tons of emails here that, like I said, I'm not prepared to do this. But also, you know, she admitted that they're using it as a playroom, and I don't think buildings of this size should be put in the backyards of other properties there. I've been trying not to. If I see something being built, I filed a lot of complaints about new construction in this area, and I just don't think it's appropriate to have those in the backyards of all the other properties on this street. If you approve this one, I don't think it's appropriate to have them there. That's about it.
Thank you. So, and it did exist prior to the storm taking it down.
Right, but now they're using it for a playroom. I mean, a storage shed that's 10 by 10 is okay. But what they had back there was a shed, but now they're turning, now they're saying they're using it as a playroom. And they were told to reduce it to 10 by 10 in not going through the process before they built it. They just kept going ahead and building it as big as they wanted to build it before they got a permit.
Is this any larger than what was there before?
I don't believe so, but like I said, they're not using it for a storage shed, and they should have gone through this process before they built it instead of after the fact. I feel bad about them having it all built and now going through the process, but they were told to reduce the size. They should have gone through the process before they built it.
And you said you're a couple doors down on Sadowa Street?
Yes, 241.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other public comment on this item?
Go ahead, please. You have 3 minutes as well.
Good morning. My name is Byron Cruz, and next door neighbor, Andy. Okay, there is a big, big, huge story how before, but it's like she said, we grew out. I got a couple of pictures over here. Unfortunately, first time out here, and we don't have the, we have a lot of paper, but a picture.
You could try putting on the overhead.
And the house was so. Yeah, this house was so big, so tall, and we cleaned it. It was like a raccoon niece over there. So next door, I have a grandkids, and they have her kids. I'm happy they do this one because my neighbor looks better, looks clean. The house is almost coming down this time, and we fixed it. I recommend her, let's fix it. Because your existing house is already existing all the time when they build the house. So it's not new building. So I put a permit. I submit the plans. I put a permit for electrical, for a plumbing. I got my inspections signed out. But after 2 years, they got a complaint and they say, "Oh, you need variance. You need variances." So I say, "Okay, let's process the rest of the you know what they require." So I don't know. That looks like they're not affected. Neighbor, the neighbor looks much clean now. My house looks much better off with that new painting. A little small house to make it smaller than the before. Like before, it's like almost about 15 feet tall. Now it's only 10 feet, like the inspector required in the plans. So for me, I don't see any problem in this one. So she has another picture, like he can show the, how they look now and how this one now looks.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So okay, thank you.
When was this constructed? You were the contractor who did the work on this, or?
Okay, that was like 2 years ago.
Okay. Wait, do you know what month it was?
I don't remember exactly. But first we clean it out.
Because we have the complaint was filed in May, and the building permit was issued in August.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I talked to one inspector, and he told me, okay, because they put a notice over there, said, okay, we clean it first, and then they put somebody called for so clean it around, and they pulled the permits. So
you did get a visit from the Department of Building Inspection,
yeah,
and they
yeah,
told
talked
you
to
get
her
and, proper
yeah.
permits. Mm-hmm. So you were working without...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we worked with her, and we put the permits, we submit the plans and get the permits, and
okay.
and they approve it, and it's what we started now with.
But at that point, it had already been completed, right?
Yeah.
When you filed the permit, it had already been completed.
I'm sorry?
When you filed the permit, it had already been...
No.
It was filed before.
No.
Okay. All right.
No, they're not doing nothing until we had the permit. We just clean it up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you. So, any other public comment on this item? Sorry, sir. No. It's not your time here to speak. You have a three-minute rebuttal.
So first, I'm very sorry. It's upsetting. For I actually never heard about that, and I haven't met you. So that's unfortunate to me. And I haven't seen any of those emails from the city or the building department about the complaint. So I don't know where those came from. But we did. I do want to apologize for that. But there was cleanup right after the windstorm happened because it fell over and things were blowing. So Byron came and helped us clean up, and he suggested to us that we rebuild. And then we went in through the permit process before we actually rebuilt. But there was cleanup work that happened because the structure had started to fall apart.
When was the windstorm?
Do you remember the windstorm?
It's a big windstorm in San Francisco.
Yeah, it was a huge windstorm, but we filed this in July. Well, first in July of 2013, early July,
right,
is when we have the job card for the permit issued.
So, right. So, but there was a complaint in May that work was being done.
Then the windstorm must have been before that. We weren't doing any work until after this windstorm.
Because the plans are actually dated February 2013.
Then that's what it, this is the job card is what I have that says July. So that's when we actually were doing the job work. So it was after the permit for sure then.
So I was wondering why the, I mean, there's a complaint that came in. And so the plan, I guess the question, one of the questions, when was the windstorm? But the plans are dated February of 2013. There's a complaint in May that work is being done without permit. The permit is received in July, and it was approved in error. I mean, it never should have been approved by our staff mm-hmm. at the counter. That's clear as the neighbor had testified.
Correct. We didn't know that, obviously. We thought we did the right thing. We didn't know the city made a mistake in granting it.
And you have the job card there?
I do. I have the job card.
And so what's the final date is... August 8th,
I'm not at July 3rd. There's a receipt number. I have to admit I don't 100% know where to look on this.
It's okay.
A work permit under authority must be completed prior to June 4th, 2014.
Because it looks like there was the permit was issued on the 3rd of July, and then there was the first inspection was on the 10th of July. So I was wondering, but you're saying you did not start construction until after?
We did not start construction. There was cleanup. Because
okay.
It was a three-building structure, a three-room structure, so it was huge. And so actually he probably puts, actually I know what you might be referring to. It's coming to me as memory. He put up some support beams because the front wall had fallen off and it was literally to hold up the walls from falling.
Okay.
But we had not started construction on building a new replacement structure.
Okay. All right. Well, I think there's differing testimony about that timeline, so...
Okay.
But have you never met your neighbor before?
No,
today?
And I haven't. He didn't come knock on our door or talk to us, and I'm really sorry about that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. So I think with that, I will close the public hearing. Certainly the proper process has not been followed in this case. I mean, I think there's a dispute about what work may have been done when, either before or after the permit. That aside, the permit never should have been approved by our department without going through this variance process in the first place. The only way to have not resulted in the variance process were to have been to reduce the size of the structure to 10 by 10, 8 feet high, to the 100 square foot limit that's allowed in the planning code for accessory structures. This does replace an existing structure. We have, in other cases, authorized variances to replace structures that have existed legally. This does appear on our sandboard maps as a structure within the required rear yard. It is accessory to the residential unit on the property. And so with those and with the testimony that this is no larger and likely smaller than what was there before, I would be inclined to grant the requested variance. And with that, that is our final item. And we can go to general public comment if there's any public comment on items that are not on the agenda today.
Is there anyone who would like to speak that is outside the agenda today?
So can I file another appeal for this?
Yes, you can appeal the variance decision letter. And you could also request jurisdiction on the building permit at the Board of Appeals. And just make sure you sign in on the sign-in sheet here. So seeing no other general public comment, close public hearing, we reconvene on January 27, 2016. Thank you.